Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
There was this poor little fox during a time of famine, and he struggled to find food anywhere. Anyway, he came across this farmer's land where there was a crop, there was crops and a harvest, and each night he would go in, and the farmer was asleep, or so he thought the farmer was asleep, and he'd eat just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit, enough to survive. Anyway, the farmer started noticing and seeing this little fox come every single day. This farmer started to get angry, started to get upset, started to get frustrated. Eventually, he reached a point of rage where he decided enough is enough. I'm going to get this little fox. And so one night, he hid in the crops, and he decided, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie a rope to this fox. I'm going to catch him. And so he hid in the crops, and as the fox would do every single night, he came, took a little bit of the harvest for himself. But out of nowhere, the farmer jumped, caught the fox, tied a rope to his tail, took a lighter and thought, I'm going to burn this rope and I'm going to burn this fox. And with an evil laugh, he lit the rope and he watched with an evil smile. Suddenly, the fox started to run out of fear. And as he ran out of fear, he started running between all the crops. And as he ran between all the crops started to light up with fire. Eventually, the fox ran away, jumped into a river, and managed to escape free from harm. As he turned back to look at the farmer, he noticed that the farmer simply had his hands on his head as he watched his entire crop and harvest, his crops and his harvest, completely burnt to smithereens. You know, that story reminded me of the fact that in life, we don't know how to correctly deal with our anger. Uncontrolled anger is a serious thing in our nation, in our families, in our marriages, and in our world. And what ends up happening is uncontrolled anger burns our crops, burns our marriage, burns our relationships, burns relationships in church life, burns our work environment. And when we don't know how to correctly deal with anger, we end up hurting not just people, but we end up burning ourselves as well. Look what Mark Twain says with me. He says, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. How many of you know if you pour acid onto something, it will destroy it? How much more is it actually doing to us? When we hold anger, when we hold resentment, when we hold rage, we're actually waiting for a moment to explode and we end up hurting people. So the title of the message very simply this morning is Correctly Dealing with Our Anger. Correctly Dealing with Our Anger. You know, right in the beginning in the book of Genesis, we see the result of anger between two brothers. The first incident of recorded murder in the Bible. In Genesis 4, it says, later Cain brought some food from the ground as a gift to God. Abel brought the best parts from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. So Cain became very angry and felt rejected. And the Lord asked Cain, why are you angry? Why do you look so unhappy? If you do things well, I'll accept you. But if you do not do them well, sin is ready to attack you. Sin wants you, but you must rule over it. How many of you know we need to rule over our anger? We can't give power to it. We need to have power over it. And almost oblivious to what God is saying, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. And while they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Notice that it actually didn't matter what God said, because Cain was so ruled by anger that no matter what the Lord said to him, he was going to execute quite literally his plan. I've discovered in life that when anger rules us, it doesn't matter what logic people say to us. It doesn't matter how God is trying to speak to us. We've made up our minds. We're angry. We got this emotion and we end up hurting people. How many times in a marriage has the spouse has been fighting? And they're completely not listening to what the other person is saying because they're not interested in the logic or the point. They're just so angry that they want to get their point across. And when we don't know how to correctly deal with anger, we will hurt people and we will hurt ourselves. A truth in your notes this morning. What you do not manage will manage you. What you do not manage will manage you. If we don't manage anger, anger manages us. Just like I spoke about with money. We can either have power over our anger or anger has power over us. And if we don't learn to control our anger correctly, it will end up ruling our lives. It will dictate the choices we make. It will decide what's going to happen in our relationships, and it'll end up hurting us. But the issue is not necessarily anger, because anger in itself is not a sin. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verse 4, when you are angry, do not sin. Notice that the Bible doesn't say, don't get angry, it is a sin. It says, when you are angry, do not sin. Because anger is a godly emotion that God has given us. Anger channeled in the right direction can change this nation. How many of you know we should be angry about violence against women in our country? We should be angry about the kidnapping of young children and the rapes of children and women. We should be angry about this stuff. So of course we have a right to be angry, but it's how we deal with our anger that can either transform situations or burn bridges, hurt people, and take our nation down the wrong road. So we need to correctly deal with our anger. You know what anger is like? It's like fire. You see, fire on a winter's evening, controlled, not necessarily Durban, maybe Joburg winter. A Joburg winter, controlled fire is good. It's warm, come home after a long day, you get to keep warm in front of it. But just like the Amazon rainforest fire that's been happening over the last couple of weeks, a fire uncontrolled will destroy anything in its path. That's the exact same with anger. Anger, controlled and channeled, can change your life. It can drive you for a cause for justice. It can reach lost people who don't know Jesus because we're angry that people are not going to know God and people haven't spoken to people about God and they don't know a loving God. It drives us to change the world. But anger left to itself will cause a wildfire that will destroy people's lives. And if we don't correctly deal with anger, that's exactly what happens. And there's three ways that people express their anger. Number one, the first way is physical. How many of you know we break things? We throw things. People are abused because of anger. Physical pain. Often guys in their macho state, we want to punch a wall. Or we want to break something because we're angry. It's a physical reaction. The second way we express our anger is verbally. We might not want to punch people, but with our words, we punch people. You know, that saying sticks and stones is completely a false statement. Because words do more damage. We swear at people. People become racist and derogatory towards people. We shout at people, scream at people. We belittle people. In our marriage, I should never have married you. My friends were right. You're just a this and this and this. And it ends up hurting. And no matter what we say, I didn't mean it. Those words have been said. And out of anger, we cause great fire, which spreads through our life. And number three, the third way that we express our anger is emotionally. You see, some people don't punch people. Some people don't swear and shout at people, but some people emotionally manipulate people in anger. Or they try to control people. Or what we do is we put up a wall and we don't let our spouse or our close friends in. Fine. Nothing's wrong. We know something's wrong, but we want to have them at the mercy of how we're feeling. So I'm angry, and this is what I'm going to do. How many of you know we all deal with that stuff in life? And it's the incorrect way to deal with our anger. We have to learn how to correctly deal with our anger. I love what Bishop T.D. Jake says, probably one of my favorite quotes. When anger controls you, you can be right about the point, but wrong about the method. And this is where we often get it wrong, especially in marriage. And I'm just using marriage as an example, because this is where we often fight it out or get angry in situations. We try so much to get the point across that we don't realize our method is completely wrong. We're busy hurting someone while we're focusing on the point. The point is you're disrespecting me. The point is you're saying these things, but in our execution of that, we don't realize that we're busy breaking down someone. We're busy hurting a relationship. We're busy breaking down church environment or our company environment, because your point can be right, but your method might be off. Think about in the book of Exodus chapter 2, Moses. He sees an Egyptian killing one of his Hebrew brothers. He has a good point. It's wrong what this man did. But what did he go and do? He went and killed an Egyptian. Moses, were you right about the point? Absolutely. Were you wrong about the method? Absolutely. And so in life, Maturity comes when we stand back and we go, what's the point and what's the method? The minute those lines get crossed, all we care about is our point. All Cain cared about, this anger, the point that why wasn't my offering accepted? And the method is he ended up killing his brother. We need to step back and go, what's the point? What's the method? My point might be right. My method might be wrong. I want to encourage you. Husbands, wives, your point might be right, but your method might be wrong. In employment, your boss might be very wrong, but your method might be very wrong. Your point might be very right, but your method might be very wrong. Maybe in church, someone said something to you and your point might be right. How many of you know your method can be wrong? This church and Rivers Church and they tell them, I'm never going to, We can be wrong about the method, but right about the point. Amen? Proverbs 29:11 says this, and I hope I'm helping you this morning. It says, foolish people lose their tempers, but wise people control theirs. I'm not telling you, are you a fool today? The Bible says it. If we lose our tempers, the Bible says, hey, we're foolish people. But if we control our tempers, we've got wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. So how do we correctly deal with our anger? A few points to encourage us today. You doing okay? Number one, the first thing we have to know is we must not allow too much room for it. We must not allow too much room for it. You'll notice that I said don't allow too much room for it. Because anger is an emotion that can be used in the right way to change society. So allow a little bit of room. Be angry at the things we should be angry with. But the minute we allow too much room for it, it controls our lives. You see, what we end up doing is we allow anger to rent space in our lives. And what anger ends up doing when you give it space to rent is it becomes the owner of the home. It takes over every room. And no longer are we the landlord. Anger becomes the landlord in our house, in our life, and it starts to rule us. We must not allow too much room for it. Ephesians 4 says this, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. See, what we do is we don't want to deal with it, so we turn the other way in the bed, we keep quiet, we wake up, it hasn't disappeared. You still turn over, and you're still angry. But then we bury it, and we bury it, and we bury it, and then one day, poof. That's why God knows, deal with the issue before you go to bed. Deal with the issue. Lest it gets infested in your heart and it comes out and it hurts people. You know what? Anger is much like sugar. You're allowed a little bit of sugar. In fact, the World Health Association says an average male should have about maximum 25 grams of sugar a day. If you take 4 grams per teaspoon, what's that, about 6 or so teaspoons of sugar a day. But if you allow too much room for sugar, you'll have too much room as well. And you'll get sick. And we end up costing our lives, am I right? Just a sweet, just a little chocolate, and before we know it, we're actually hurting ourselves. It's the same with anger. If I just get angry at this and I don't deal with it, then I get angry at that and I don't deal. It can be the smallest things, but the more room you allow for anger, the greater hold it'll have on your marriage, on your relationships, and on your life. And eventually it gets expressed and we end up hurting people. Number two, we have to learn to communicate. How do we deal with anger? We have to learn to communicate. Our world doesn't know how to correctly communicate. This is how we communicate. And in fact, on this, we don't even use words anymore. If I'm angry at you, you're going to get a red, angry face emoji. Or if I'm really angry, you might get the emoji with that thing covering over its mouth with exclamation, exclamation. That's what people do, am I right? So we don't even just express that. We don't even just say, I'm upset or I'm angry. I send you an emoji, you know exactly what I'm feeling. Or we won't even reply. You'll just see the person online and they won't be there anymore. Because you need to know, I saw that message, but I'm angry at you. That's what we do. Am I right? We don't know how to talk. And then when we see the person face to face, it's like there's all this stuff that you know is going on, but I don't know how to talk to you anymore. I talk to you in emojis and I talk to you in WhatsApp, but I don't know how to deal with the stuff. We have to get to a point of maturity where we sit in front of a person. We say, this is what's going on. This is where I'm hurting. Once again, I'll talk about marriage. And I'm no expert in marriage, but it's often where marriages break down, where we don't just sit and talk. This is how I'm feeling. This is where I'm being hurt. Not attacking someone, hearing someone, and finding out. You know what most people do? They attack the person, not the problem. We attack our wife, or we attack our husband, or we attack our friends, but we're not actually dealing with the issue at hand. The issue is how I feel here. The issue is what we do there. The issue is we need to learn to communicate. Technology is a wonderful thing, but it's caused us to communicate less. And I want to encourage you, maybe it's a conversation that you need to go and have today. It's awkward. No person enjoys having that conversation. No one says, man, I can't wait to have that tough conversation that's probably going to end up in tears and crying and all this sort of. No one enjoys that. But most of you will know that when you have that conversation, you walk away going, I'm so glad I had that. Do you know there might be a relationship in your life that is entirely, entirely hinging on that conversation that you need to have with that person? Or maybe there's a relationship in your life that is completely broken down simply because you haven't had that conversation. And then things build up and we never talk about it. Can I encourage you? Being vulnerable is not a weakness. It's actually a strength. The world's vulnerability, it's a weakness. No, if you're vulnerable and you can talk, it's actually a great strength. Because that's when we can find God doing something in our lives, when we're vulnerable to allow Him to do something. Number three, are you being helped this morning? Yeah. Number three, we need to know and understand our pressure points. If we want to deal with anger, we have to know and understand our pressure points. So what is a pressure point for you? What causes you anger? For some people, they get angry at some things that other people don't get angry about. For you, you might get angry at those things. For me, I know probably one of our biggest pressure points is the road. And many of you will probably agree. The road is a pressure point. I know that if I'm not prayed up, if I know, and I know I don't just yield to God, that will be a place where I could get seriously angry. In fact, in my early 20s, I've been resaved since then, just so you know. But in my early 20s, that was 10 years ago or so, I remember I was driving to church one morning and I came to the intersection, stopped at the robot. It went green. It must have been green for about 3 seconds at least, which is a fair amount of time for something to be green. And as I drove forward, suddenly this car came flying at about 80 to 100 and I literally slammed on my brakes and it must have missed me like that. And it just went flying down the road. Pressure point erupted. So I turned my car in first gear and I just went, that rev counter was so high because I was trying to catch this guy. He stopped at the next intersection. I turned my car around sharply and teed him right there at the intersection. I didn't touch his car or anything. And I scrolled down the window, I stood out and I was like, if you ever, not if you, I said if you, because some of you look mortified. You're like, what did you say? If you ever, this is on CD, I got to make sure you know. If you ever, and I got so angry, and like this woman and this man were looking in this car, and this lady was like, I'm so sorry, looking at the guy there, and he was just, I was like, calm down, get in the car, and drive to church. Also, I wasn't a pastor then, just so you know. But that's a pressure point that I have to know. If you don't deal with that properly, Chase, you can actually get angry on the road and you can do something silly and you don't want that. Many of you are laughing because you know on the road. That's probably a pressure point as well. You know what it's like, anger? Every day you and I have opportunities to get angry. Every day you can let something get to you. So you get to the robot and someone goes through the red robot. Then as you're going forward and you're in the traffic, they decide to have a queue down the emergency lane. And then you go, so you get more angry. And then your boss comes and complains at you for something that you never even did. And you've been the one that's working the hardest and he still doesn't notice and you're getting so annoyed. And then what happens is you go home and your husband or your wife says something. And you're like, you have not today, not today. But unlike the scripture that says, don't go to sleep angry, you keep it in. And every single day, there's opportunity to build up. And you know what? Every time another angry point happens, it pressures you. And it starts to put pressure, whatever it may be. And you know what we have the opportunity to do? Let it go. See, every day you have an opportunity to go, that's not going to get to me. Sorry, I can't deal with the sound. Every day I can say, you know what, I'm not going to let that bug me. Hey, you know what, my marriage is bigger than this. I'm just going to let it slide. hey, I'm just going to trust that so-and-so will take care of that. I'm just going to trust that. And as you let it go, you begin to realize that every day, once you let anger go, no matter what someone does to you, they can never cause you to explode because you let go of anger easily. Where you go, that's not going to be a pressure point. That's not going to be a... Maybe today you're somewhere in this point. Maybe you got so angry because one of our very nice, wonderful, amazing car park volunteers kindly asked you to please park over here for the better service of the church. And then as you walked in, the wonderful usher said, please, can you sit here? And it was the wrong person at the wrong time, and it just went, bah! You ushers, you need to get a life. If you dare tell me where to sit, and you storm out of church, and then your marriage, and this poor usher's just going, because it was a buildup of pressure, of anger, and the wrong person at the wrong time had to deal with the explosion. And then it becomes everyone else's problem because they're left with the residue of anger that we didn't deal with. Some of you are about to pop. Can I encourage you? You need to let that stuff go. Because much like acid, it's actually hurting you more than it's hurting. And you and I have the opportunity just to go, I choose not to let it get to me. Amen? George Sweeting says this. I love this quote. I lose my temper. But it's all over in a minute, said the student. Yeah, but so is the hydrogen bomb, I replied. But think of the damage it produces. Some of us are hydrogen bombs waiting to cause massive damage, but we have the choice today to go, you know what, I'm going to let it go. My marriage is more important. Church life is more important. This nation is more important. I need to let stuff go. And if we each make that choice, we can find change in our life. Number four, don't let anger be your default setting. Don't let anger be your default setting. Pastor Andre, our senior pastor, always says, live by design, not by default. And many people are living in their default setting. And many people's default reaction is anger. So when he says that, or she says that, or something happens, we immediately get angry. And then we say this, that's just the way I am. You have to deal with it. How many of you know that's often people's responses? It's the way I'm made. That's my personality. You're just going to have to deal with that. But I want to tell you today, no, we don't have to deal with that. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of Christ. And if we're exploding and getting angry at people and we're saying, that's just the way I am, we're actually not imitating Christ. And Galatians says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So let us never fall back on, that's just the way I am. We have to say, who is God and am I becoming more like Christ? Because that's the way I need to be. We need to be more like God. Never let it be your default setting. You know, in many electronic things today, like an electric gate, we have a button that's called manual override. So when there's a heavy storm or lightning hits something, you can restore by having the manual override switched so that you now control it. You know, anger is the very same thing. God has built within us a manual override called choice. And we don't have to let our default setting kick in. We can say, hang on. I know I want to go that way, but I put my manual override on so that I choose how I'm going to respond. I choose how I'm going to react, and I will not live in my default setting. I'll live the way God designed me and how God wants me to live. Number five, as we come near a close this morning, you have to admit you struggle with it. How are you going to deal with anger? You have to admit you struggle with it. How many of you know if you can never admit you have an issue, you can never deal with the issue? Think about it like this. We kind of taboo internal struggles in life that just don't talk about it. It means you're weak if you've got a struggle internally. And so what do we kind of suppress it and we don't want to deal with it. But if someone has a broken arm, they don't sneak into a hospital. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I fell off my bike. Can you just call a doctor for me? I've just got this issue. Now, my arm is fine. Everyone looking at us, no, I'm good. We're like, someone help me. My arm is broken. I need a surgeon. I need a doctor. I need medication. I need a sling. Please help me recover. Yet we don't do that with the internal battles that we face. We hide our fractures and our brokenness, and we just get, hopefully someone won't notice them. And we end up getting more broken and hurt people. We need to be vulnerable to go, there's a broken element in my life. I need the doctor, the great physician, to see me and help me. But I need good friends around me. I need my church family to help me. I want to encourage you today. We don't look at you any less if you're going through an internal struggle. In fact, I'd encourage you, write it on your response card. Come and see someone, because we're here to help people. And there's many people that are walking around with fractures and brokenness inside, trying to hide it, thinking that it's a sign of weakness. And then we never get it fixed because we don't want anyone to see what's going on. Anger's like that. If you're struggling with anger today, it takes strength to say, I'm struggling with it. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of character to be able to go, I'm hurting here. This anger issue is broken. Please, will you help me? And as we surrender before God, and as we get good people around us, the sling gets put on, or the cast, and we end up getting into a place where we can recover. But if you're broken in that area today, like we're all broken in some area, be willing to admit it, because it's the first step that allows God the space to intervene and allow God to heal us. Number six, as we come to a close, the last point today. We need to channel our anger. So channel your anger into making a godly change. Channel your anger into making a godly change. I want to remind you today that Jesus got angry. Jesus got very angry in the Bible. God got angry. But Jesus never took out his anger in the form of violence, oppressing people, disrespecting people, abusing people. In fact, Jesus channeled his anger to change a system that was oppressing the downtrodden and the broken and the hurting and brought salvation to society. Your anger can be channeled to change your marriage. Your anger funneled in the right direction can change your friendship circles, can change people's eternity, can change your working environment. The problem is we get angry, we burst, and then we don't deal with it properly, so we never get the point sorted. But if we channel it correctly and we pursue God, God can take that anger and use it to transform our lives. Byron Pulsifer says this, anger expressed in a healthy and positive way means that we channel emotional anger towards resolution, not attack.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.